What's up, everybody? This is Dave from Movies On Up. We'll see Ryan after the theme song. This week, lots of Raimi news, lots of Oz news. Ryan gives his top five favorite summer camp movies, and I give my five favorite road trip movies. We also talk a lot of trailers and make a big announcement about the future of Movies On Up. Theme song, we're not in Kansas anymore.
What's up? This is Movies On Up, episode 44. A number is just a number, or is it? Dave, what do you think? Is a number just a number?
Age is just a number.
That's what they say, but it also governs jail time.
Numbers are just numbers.
Do you happen to know what tagline that might be from?
Yes.
You do? I'm starting to get into a bit of a rut where
It's not really a movie we talked about.
It isn't? It isn't.
Directly.
No, it was... We didn't talk about it at all.
No.
Not even indirectly.
No.
But if you downloaded our last week's episode of Movies On Up with Ryan and the aforementioned Dave from our website, moviesonup.com, and you looked at last week's episode, you really couldn't help but see what movie we're talking about. It is essentially the name of last week's episode, and there's a really freaky picture of Jim Carrey. Oops, did I let that slip?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, yeah. So if you can figure out, if you can deduce, use your deductive reasoning, Sherlock that one out, let us know what movie you think that is from. Send it to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet directly at Dave, @moviesonup. Let him know your guess. Or you can get at us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/moviesonup. Use any of those ways to let us know what your guess for our tagline for this week is. And if you get it right, and if we pick you, we will send you a Movies On Up gift package, which at this point could contain literally $1 million.
Or anything.
I don't think it matters what we say is going to be in there. People just don't seem to give a shit. But I persevere with this nonetheless because I like it. I think it's a clever way to open the show. So even if none of you like it, tough shit.
It's not going anywhere.
No, it'll get changed when it's Movies On Up with Ryan and Dave and Michael Klenich, maybe. Who knows? Michael Klenich is everywhere now. He did a hell of a job on your live show last night. But I don't think Michael Klenich made an appearance in Oz the Great and Powerful this weekend or Dead Man Down. I watched all of ABCs of Death. There were a lot of people in that movie. I didn't see him. Didn't see Beyond the Hills. But I'm going to go on a limb and say he probably wasn't in any movies that were in the box office this weekend.
There'd be more chance that he saw Oz the Great and Powerful. I don't even think he did that. We set the over-under at 50 for Oz the Great and Powerful, and then Box Office Mojo was saying, like, oh, there's a chance this movie's going to open at $100 million.
Yeah.
No, it was $79 million. So that it was big.
Yeah.
Very, very big. But it's on a $215 million budget. But it's going to hold for a couple of weeks. Word of mouth seems to be pretty strong on it, so looks like they have a hit there.
They might. They might. Maybe we'll get back to that here in a couple seconds.
It did better than Jack the Giant Slayer.
Sure did.
Which dropped off 64%. Bigger drop than John Carter had in its second weekend.
Yeah, I saw on Box Office Mojo, they had some comparisons, like first 7 days of John Carter and of Jack, and I thought, oh, shit.
Yeah, $9.8 million for Jack, $43 million after 2 weeks.
On a $300 million budget.
$195 million.
Yeah. I thought it was $300.
Nah, $195 million.
Shit, okay, well then that's two-thirds still as much as terrible. I thought.
Identity Thief, still holding strong, brought in another $6 million. It's at $116 million. Dead Man Down, the other wide release. Action movies are just bombing since 2013. Dead Man Down only opened with $5 million. I think we only put it at like $7 million or so. So I don't think it was far off of expectations.
Nobody's going to check. So yeah, we put it at $7 million. We both took the under.
Snitch is in at $5 million. And Snitch has made $31 million in 3 weeks.
Is that the best performing
action
movie?
Yeah, that's the only, really the only, it's not best performing because
Die Hard had a good first week.
Die Hard has more money.
Yeah.
But it's not going to reach its budget.
Sure.
Snitch was made cheaper, didn't get as critically panned as Die Hard, and didn't fall so fast. Because Die Hard's only in its fourth week. It's out of the top 10 already. So, like, it's going down.
Can I be honest with you? I forgot about Die Hard.
I mean, it's just not a good year so far for action movies. I'm interested to see what happens in the summer.
Yeah.
I really am, because
that's got to turn around.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see in a couple of weeks when a summer blockbuster is released in March.
Yeah.
With G.I. Joe. But, I mean, because I think Dead Man Down looked okay. But you got the Sylvester Stallone one. You have the Schwarzenegger one. Die Hard. They're just not doing well
but
this
G.I.
year.
G.I. Joe with Die Hard and Snitch, you know?
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, that's your cast.
Yeah.
And C-Tates.
That's box office. There's really not much going on this
year. Not a lot exciting to talk about this year. I mean, we started the year on box office talking about how bad some of these horror movies were doing, but we're still, you know, number one at the box office. And then the last couple weeks, it seems like we've talked about, I remember doing it with Identity Thief, where it had a very good opening week, made a bunch of money, actually made more than its budget. So there was plans to make an Identity Thief 2. And now is seems to be the point in the podcast where every week we are talking about the latest movie still in theaters that's made a bunch of money, and the impending sequel has just been announced by the studio. Now, can't you guess which movie I may be talking about this week? According to The Hollywood Reporter, Disney has hired Mitchell Kapner to write a script for Oz the, I don't know, the Greater and More Powerful. Word out on the street that David Lindsay Abaire, the co-writer of Rise of the Guardians and the first Great and Powerful, will be brought on later to help polish up the script for the sequel that'll be due out at some point.
I mean, it's hard to say that it's a good or bad idea when I haven't seen it, but it's kind of already got a sequel. It's called The Wizard of Oz. I mean, it's a prequel to that, so I guess you could build up before that, but I don't know the interest there.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, so I don't know if the movie sets up real well for a sequel, but am I surprised that it's getting one? No, not really. That does seem to be kind of the MO for things. Okay,
and it's Disney.
Yeah, it's Disney.
Disney doesn't like to make one-off movies.
No. You know, a lot of times they do end up direct-to-DVD. I don't think this is going that route at all. It seems... like you mentioned in the box office section, it got off to a good start with the word of mouth. It could be gaining some momentum. So, yeah, I mean, I could see where it would be financially successful. It's Wizard of Oz. Why the hell couldn't that be a franchise, I guess?
It just, I wonder the contracts, like James Franco, if he wants to come back, if whoever else is in this movie. Like, I'm sure Zach Braff won't have a problem coming back, but can you get Franco?
Can you get Michelle Williams?
Yeah.
Can you get Mila Kunis and Rachel Weisz?
Yeah, so I don't, this one looks okay enough, but I'm not excited enough to go rush out and see it. So I'm just not ready for a sequel yet.
I think it looks neat. I'm interested, like I think I said last week, to see what Sam Raimi would do with Oz. I'm not so sure if I'm going to be as interested in the second one because there was no mention in that story of whether or not Raimi would be back to direct. But did a little digging because that's my responsibility to you, the listener. According to Bleeding Cool, no, in fact, Sam Raimi will not be back to direct. They have the director quoted as saying, "I haven't planned on directing the sequel," end quote. And just for good measure, Raimi went on to say, "I was attracted to this story," meaning the first one, "but I don't think the second one would have the thing I would need to get me interested." Now, I don't know if that means a big fucking check or what, but it doesn't seem like Raimi has got a lot of interest in coming back to do the second one.
Yeah, I mean, he had a big franchise already. And he wore out his welcome pretty much with it. I mean, that's the first two were great, but the third one. So I think he might be hesitant on big studio sequels and even sequels in general. Like Evil Dead 2 was basically just remaking Evil Dead because he had a budget. And look at the sequel to Evil Dead 2. He did something completely different with it. So I don't know that he wants to just go revisit the same territory.
But he is doing Evil Dead 4.
Which they there was something in there today that's it's going to be Army of Darkness 2.
Of course.
Yeah.
That was my favorite, though. So I'm glad to hear that.
I'd kill for a sequel. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Sam Raimi and sequels and Evil Dead, after a premiere at South by Southwest, a sequel to the Evil Dead reboot is anything but dead. Fade Alvarez told the audience at South by that the second script is already being written and the sequel is quote unquote officially in the works, whatever that means.
See, I didn't see if, what's that stripper's name? Diablo Cody. Is she on board for the sequel script? Cause she wrote this one.
I don't know.
But
it was just, the article was a real short excerpt of just, I don't know that, you know, people were necessarily clamoring for the sequel. I think fans of the series liked it.
All I've read is positive out of South by Southwest.
I've read negatives from people that just were, you know, not deadites, so they didn't really care, and it didn't do a lot for them. But fuck them, I don't care.
See, I've heard it's gory, it's legitimately scary.
Yes.
I mean, I read good from both Evil Dead fans and horror fans. So
either way, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna like it. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I guess he just mentioned that, you know, there will be another one. Mentioned no actor involvement. He mentioned no writer involvement.
No, they did mention that it's supposed to be a trilogy.
Okay.
It's a planned trilogy, and I think it centers on Jane Levy.
I mean, that would be fine with me. I'm down with that.
Yeah. I could have pulled that out of somewhere that I don't.
Your ass?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what I read, though.
Well, that's fine. I mean, we're not like really a hardcore news gathering outfit. We can speculate. What the fuck? Our last story on Raimi on Up, the Poltergeist reboot has a monster of a director. Monster House director Gil Keenan has signed on to direct the Sam Raimi-produced reboot for MGM. Keenan will direct a script written by, wait for it, David Lindsay Abaire. The circle is now complete.
Not excited about this director choice at all. Monster House should have been awesome. That was a great script by Dan Harmon, a great concept. But it was terrible. I was hoping more. Like this, if you put somebody like a Ty West or somebody on a Poltergeist remake, yes, because I think they're going to bring something completely different while still staying true to it. This guy just seems like a paint-by-numbers guy that's just going to be a yes man, and it feels like it's just going to be like the Friday remake or the Nightmare remake, to where it's just...
They remade that movie with Ice Cube?
I wish.
Yeah.
Nothing new. I just feel like it's not going to be anything different.
Honestly, like I liked Poltergeist for what it was. I was much more excited about this when I thought Sam Raimi was going to direct it. I don't know how involved he's going to be as a producer. Not having seen Monster House, it made sense in that, you know, that's a movie about a haunted house, right?
Kind of. It's an animated movie about a house that is a monster.
And I guess that's loosely what Poltergeist is. The thing that I did find kind of interesting about this was Monster House is one of the first movies that, you know, was released widely in 3D. So the thought is maybe that this Poltergeist movie would also, and now it seems like almost everything is, you know, going to be released in 3D. So, you know, that was kind of speculation as well.
It's just, there's been some cool, I can't think any off the top of my head, but there have been cool directors' names thrown out for this along the way. And he isn't one of them.
Maybe that'll fall apart. I mean, a lot of times directors do get named to projects and they don't end up, you know, for whatever reason, they don't end up finishing it. But at this point, it does seem like Keenan is the man, much to Dave's chagrin. So we talked a little bit about MGM. I got some more ABCs for you. The CEOs for WB and Paramount collaborate on Chris Nolan's new sci-fi flick, Interstellar. The studios will co-produce and co-distribute the film and have announced a November 7th, 2014 release date for both IMAX and traditional screens.
It'll be interesting. Nolan is interesting. The November release date's kind of interesting to me.
We talked about last week with Wally Pfister, like having to make a movie essentially in a year for his directorial debut. Then you've got a guy like Chris Nolan who's got about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Really. So
I just don't.
For both effects heavy sci-fi movies, maybe?
Yeah. And it feels, part of me feels weird because, okay, Inception did well in the summer. This feels like it'll have more of that mainstream appeal than Inception. It feels like it would do better in the summer. But then putting it in November with Chris Nolan's name on it.
Yeah.
Are you looking Oscars? So
looking Oscars, looking for that, you know, big Thanksgiving draw, which, you know, we talked about that last Thanksgiving, where that's becoming a strategic point. And, you know, getting it out ahead of time will give people a chance to hear about it and get their asses to the theaters and see it November 7th, 2014. 50/50 and Warm Bodies director Jonathan Levine loves Mandy Lane, and 7 years later, you may too. After catching some love at TIFF back in 2006, Levine's debut bounced around Europe before finally securing a limited release later this year in at least the top 50 markets through the Weinstein Company.
This story makes no sense to me. It was, I don't even know how many years ago I saw All the Boys Love Mandy Lane. This movie's been out for so long.
I think
the people that were super excited about it have either seen it, moved on, or just completely forgot about it. So I don't know what kind of audience it's going to have in limited release.
I think
it's just a weird move.
I think coming off you know, Warm Bodies, which wasn't a huge smash.
It was a hit. It was successful.
Right, sure. It was successful, 50-50. I think his name now, it's not, you know, a household name by any means, but when you can put on the poster, from the guy who brought you Warm Bodies and 50-50.
But this movie is way different than both of
them. Oh, I'm sure, yeah. From the trailer and from the description I've read, I'm sure. But it looks like a cool movie.
It's good. I haven't seen it. It's entertaining. It's not... It's a throwback. It's one of those throwback, like, homage horror movies.
Yeah.
It's, it has its moments. Amber Heard is something else. But, I mean, it's okay.
All right. But, I mean, at least now, you know, it'll be easier for you to see if you want to see it. And I'm all for that. At least give me the option to tell you I'm not interested. I mean, we probably won't be in the top 50 markets. But, you know, maybe a VOD release or something like that, because that's kind of how I roll nowadays. Anyway. Things are apparently better for JGL's Don John as the film drops the addiction from his name. So apparently he's all better. The director took to Facebook to explain why the change from Don John's addiction to simply Don John. Paraphrasing, the movie isn't really about a porn addiction. It's about the way porn and Hollywood chick flicks ruin the way men and women think about each other, think about the interactions they have to have with each other.
First off, that's bullshit. I don't buy that fucking explanation at all. You fucking wrote the movie and you're just now realizing that the title doesn't fit. Fuck that. You're better than that.
So what is the reason then?
Studios, look at the fucking trend. Alex Cross, Jack Reacher, John Carter. Like, for some reason, they feel like a fucking single name is a title now when you know nothing about the character. You don't think John Carter is a worse title than John Carter of Mars? At least John Carter of Mars gives you an idea what the fuck the movie is. Jack Reacher, Alex Cross, Jack Ryan coming up. If you don't know these characters, that fucking title does nothing for you.
I don't know that Don John's addiction necessarily gives you...
Hey, he's addicted to something. I know that going in.
To something, but John...
That's more than I know about fucking Alex Cross or Jack Reacher.
Yeah, those two are bad, but like John Carter from Mars would at least let you know that, okay, this
it's
of Mars.
Space,
yeah, it takes place in space or something. You know, addiction could... It could be anything. I think, you know, his explanation of, you know, it's not about porn addiction, because I guess Scarlett Johansson's character is just as addicted to these chick flicks, and it's fucked up her mind as much as it's fucked up his. So I'll buy it. I don't give a shit one way or the other. I mean, I wanted to see the movie before.
I'll see it, I think it's a fucking terrible marketing move.
I guess I really don't. I mean, it's going to have a trailer, which is going to give you an insight as to what the movie's about. It's not like people are only going to be, okay, I can only see the name of the movie. I won't be able to find out anything else about it until I have my ass in the theater. You'll see a trailer.
I'm just tired of the fucking titles that are just... Like Michael Clayton from a few years ago. I like that movie.
Yeah.
But it's a terrible title. Like, I just... I don't give a fuck about these people.
The Bitch of War.
That would be a good title.
That would be an awesome title. But you're still convinced that's getting switched.
Because it's All You Need
Is
Kill.
Or did it already get switched?
The title of the book is All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. You're the one that wants it switched to Bitch of War.
I like the Bitch of War. Yeah, where did that come from?
It's the character in the book is Bitch of War.
Oh, okay. I probably asked you that like five or six
times. You
should
read the book. It's really fucking good.
If there's an audio version of it, I'll check that out, because I'm more interested in people talking at me than reading. My eyes don't work so good, because clearly I can't see how long this story is dragging to get into the next one. Simon West's Heat just got a little bit hotter. Sofia Vergara joins the cast to play the prostitute, using air quotes here, friend of Jason Statham's character. She gets abducted by the mob, and Statham presumably gets revenge. I haven't seen the movie. Or was it a Burt Reynolds flick originally?
Probably.
Who knows? The fight scenes, at least, will be choreographed by Corey Yin, who co-directed Statham the Transporter. So at least, like, there could be some good ass-kicking in it.
It just sounds like it's a
Statham
movie.
Sure.
Like, he's doing one thing now, and that's it.
That's fine. I don't mind. Bill Murray does one thing, and that's it. But that thing is good. I like him doing it.
I guess I like Statham, the beginning of his career, and like Snatch and the Guy Ritchie movies.
Yeah.
And I think he's a good actor. I think he can be a really good actor, but he got into, I mean, I don't blame him because he's getting paychecks.
Hell yeah.
But like, he fell into this, like, oh, I'm just an American action star now. All right.
That's fine. You know what? Like, I'm not seeing the Transporter series, but you know, I mean, I like the Expendables for what it is. I goddamn love Crank. Both of those fucking great movies. Maybe not great, but they're a lot of fun. And I think he does well. So, yeah, keep making action movies. I'm cool with Statham just doing that. I'll see the ones that look interesting, the ones that don't.
They all look the same, though, is the thing.
Some of them, yeah, I guess. But
because what were the last two? Safe and Parker?
Yeah.
They look exactly the same.
And then there was the one.
So much so that I thought they were the same movie.
There was the one before that where was The Cleaner or
some
shit?
The Mechanic.
The Mechanic. That was it. That one looked interesting. I didn't
end
up seeing it.
Two of those were remakes.
Yeah, fuck it.
And then
I don't care.
This is a remake.
Whatever. Everything's a goddamn remake. We talked about the Poltergeist reboot. We've talked about Evil Dead, Frankenstein. Fucking, there's everything. Everything is recycled bullshit. It may as well be recycled with Statham. I'm fine with that.
If only there were somebody that could breathe new life into movies, maybe.
Like maybe Jon Stewart, for instance. He's taking a summer vacation to direct his feature debut, Rosewater.
I'm interested. He's definitely got a perspective. He's definitely got a point of view.
Yeah, is it funny enough, dude? It'd be interesting to see what he...
And, like, I like Jon Stewart in movies. Like,
yeah.
I was... Early 2000s, like, I was a big fan. Big Daddy, I thought he was awesome in. That Angelina Jolie AIDS movie, Playing by Heart, where Ryan Phillippe or Angelina Jolie has AIDS. That one was good.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, like, I just...
Thanks.
I like Jon Stewart. And it's cool to see him be in a position to where... Hey, you know, I'm on this super high-rated show. Well, I just want a few months off.
I want a few months off, and I want to direct a movie, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Don't know if it's going to be great, but we'll have to check it out. A Vacation from television for Mr. Stewart. FirstShowing.net has got an exclusive interview with the Burt Wonderstone writers, Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly, who will be directing the new Vacation movie, starring former Daily Show correspondent Ed Helms.
What do you think about New Vacation with Ed Helms? I think we talked about it when he was...
I think we did.
I think Ed Helms is kind of perfect casting.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with it. I think he's really, really underrated.
I don't know that he's underrated. I think he has a lot more range than he's given credit for.
Well, I guess that would be underrated, wouldn't it?
I think people like him, but I don't think people know everything he can do. Because even something like Cedar Rapids...
I didn't say underappreciated, I said underrated.
I think even something like Cedar Rapids, he was
still
Ed Helms,
great.
But he was more than that.
Yeah.
Jeff Who Lives at Home, he was more than
right.
just Ed
There's
Helms.
There's a darker edge to him
in
those movies.
Like, he's really fucking good.
Yeah. He's playing Rusty Griswold, a grown-up Rusty.
Which makes him, what, the fourth actor to play him?
Yeah, there was the kid from The Big Bang Theory. There was actually, they've had a different one just about every movie, haven't
Johnny
they?
Galecki was one.
Oh, yeah, that was one of them.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of them, so I'm not going to go through
ones.
And name them all.
Yeah, well, I couldn't. I just know.
But it's cool to see John Francis Daly and that his writing partner, Jonathan Goldstein, like, they're directing this. This is a big deal for them to direct. I mean, they've written... John Francis Daly is the lead of Freaks and Geeks, if you don't know, recognize the name. But they wrote Horrible Bosses,
which is getting a sequel.
Which the cast all three of those are coming back. It's cool to see. I like when guys make a name writing, and then, okay, you can direct this.
Supposedly. I mean, I haven't seen Burt Wonderstone yet. It looked funny, but I've heard it's shit.
See, I've heard mixed. I've heard...
I'm hoping for mixed.
The long trailer, the first trailer, I thought looked interesting. It looked like it had laughs in it. The TV spots look fucking terrible. So is it more like the long trailer or more like the 30-second
TV? Or they cut
TV
it together
spots?
For a TV audience.
Yeah. So
hopefully that's it.
Either way, that's the kind of movie that never, ever interests me, but I'm interested in this. I hate magic. I hate when actors become caricatures of themselves, which it looks like Jim Carrey's playing a caricature of himself. Steve Carell's playing a caricature. Like, it's just, I don't like when they're into these big of characters, but I'm interested in it, so... I guess we'll see.
Yeah, there was a little bit in that article about whether Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo would come back. I believe that Goldstein and John Francis Daly had indicated that they're into that process of trying to get them to come back in kind of a limited role. Obviously, it will be in Ed Helms' vehicle. But yeah, I mean, I think it would be great to have Chevy come back. Just, you know, cameo, whatever.
I think it would make more sense if you don't do the Chevy Chase cameo. It just... See if this does well, and then A Christmas Vacation, because that makes more sense for Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo to be back.
Yeah, I guess like if Ed Helms was
and
going,
yeah.
yeah, visit his parents for Christmas.
Vice versa.
Sure. Like, yeah, I guess. I mean, depending on how they do, I mean, I guess you could probably come up with a reason.
I like how they're doing this. It's clever that it's a reboot, but all in the same universe.
Yeah.
Which is great. Like what Tarantino wanted to do with Kill Bill. Where once the daughter's old enough, he wants to kind of remake Kill Bill, but it's still in the same
world.
It's a
half reboot, half sequel.
Yes.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I like when they can pull those off, when mm-hmm. they work.
And I mean, the people involved in this, it would lead you to believe that they could possibly duplicate. Okay, you haven't seen the Vacation movies. I think I've seen all of them, actually. Christmas is still my favorite. The original was very good, too. And this one, I think, has a chance to be one of my favorite vacation movies. So that prompted Dave and I to want to put together our top five vacation slash road trip movies. Though, spoiler alert, none of the vacation movies made my list. Did you go on vacations as a kid? Did you
No.
Do family vacations? We did a couple.
We would do the occasional road trip.
We did visit relatives, which I never liked.
And I never counted that as a vacation because...
It wasn't fun. It sucked. And then once I got to a certain age, that shit went out the window. And for me, my summers, not all of them, not the entire summer, thankfully, but every summer I had to goddamn go to summer camp. So all of my movies are summer camp movies. That was vacation
for me. The closest I've had to a vacation in about 15 years was when a company flew me to Atlanta for a week, all expenses paid, and I worked for 40, like 12-hour days for the whole week. But it was awesome because I was in a hotel, free food. That was the closest I had to a vacation.
And your kids weren't around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say that so you don't have to. And I'll edit out your grill so you don't have to take shit from anybody because your kids listen to this podcast all the time. They're huge fans.
Somebody has to be.
So Dave,
you did top five vacation movies.
I did top five summer camp movies because they're all for me. That was my vacation. Every one of these takes place.
And I did
at a summer
top five road trip movies.
Yeah.
All right.
Because that was our vacation experiences. You occasionally did road trips. I had to go to Boy Scout summer camp.
Yeah.
They both suck dick.
Yeah.
Probably.
All right. So go on.
So do you want to go first?
Oh, sure. I'll go first.
Okay, go first.
My fifth is a tie. Two movies that I also brought up in Thanksgiving.
A fucking tie already.
Yes.
Number five.
Because they're very similar movies. They're both classics. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And Dutch.
Yeah. Okay.
They're both people need to get home for Thanksgiving or Christmas. It's one or the other. They're just really funny movies. Just classics. They're the formula of... We got to get from point A to point B, and everything that can go wrong is going to go wrong. Grow as characters. And I think they both nail it.
When I first thought of vacation movies, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is one of the first ones I thought of. But then when I got on this kick of mine are all going to be summer camp movies, that shit went out the window. Of the five movies I have, four of them are comedies, which does seem like it lends itself to vacation summer camp. My number five is not a comedy. It is, in fact, a horror movie. It's Sleepaway Camp from 1983. Fucking really, really a good movie. It spawned some sequels.
That weren't as good.
That were not good. And I think was it Bruce Springsteen's sister is in like 2 and 3?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. But the first one is absolutely worth a watch. And watch the whole goddamn thing. That's all I got to say. A good slasher.
It was early enough in the slasher genre before the sequels fell into the trap of running by the slasher formula. It was smart enough to not be just a slasher.
Yeah, yeah. There was a bit of a story to it. It wasn't just like, oh, there's some crazy motherfucker running around. Like, I mean, I like Friday the 13th. I do. But, you know, they kind of, it's just, let's see how we can kill people. And I'm cool with that. I love that. But there was a little bit more to Sleepaway Camp. So, I mean, it's definitely worth checking out. You can stop after the first one. It doesn't get any better than the last 5 minutes of the first one. Check it out.
And that's one that I think a proper remake could do justice.
It could.
If a proper remake.
It could, but I don't know how you could do it and have it be as impactful.
That's true. Eh. My number four, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Sure, it's a shorter road trip, but it's a road trip, and it's another kind of trip. So I just something about it. I like the book. the movie did a good job of it. It kind of falls apart near the, I don't know, once they're off the road, kind of, but I think it counts still. I liked it.
I'll give it to you. I mean, I think that was another, he was supposed to be working, wasn't he? That was kind of a work
he
vacation.
He was working the whole time.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. So I guess that's like your experiences minus a lot of
the drugs,
almost all
Benicio
of the
del
drugs.
Toro, yeah.
Yeah. My number four, it's also from about the same era, not 83, it's a bit earlier than that, 79. This is a comedy, one of the funniest summer camp movies of all time, directed by Ivan Reitman, who thankfully is in my good graces again for bringing the what is probably going to be a shitty Kevin Costner movie, but making it about the Browns. I'm cool with that. You can check out my thoughts on the blog post I wrote about that movie.
On moviesonup.com.
Yep, Draft Day, I think is the name of that movie. The name of this movie is Meatballs. I would have liked Summer Camp a lot better if Bill Murray, or a guy like Bill Murray, was one of the counselors. He
or
was goddamn
shower scenes.
Yeah, it was really weird going to a Boy Scout summer camp because there's really not a lot of chicks at all, which is probably one reason why I didn't like it at all.
I always get Meatballs and Porky's mixed up.
Porky's, there's a shower scene in Porky's.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. I believe there's a shower scene in Meatballs as well. There's one in another Ivan Reitman movie, Stripes. Maybe yeah. You're getting a lot of shit confused. At any rate, I really dug Meatballs, and I think as a kid, I was kind of like the annoying kid that hung out with Bill Murray. That's my number four.
My number three, a couple of women getting away, going on the road, having some fun, sleeping with Brad Pitt. Thelma and Louise. I just liked the movie. Like, something about it was fun. I thought the ending was awesome. It was a ballsy ending that I thought they nailed. Just, I really liked the idea of this movie, and I thought the execution was perfect.
It was a good movie. I do like it. That almost like could go in the buddy-buddy genre, you know what I mean? They're not cops, obviously, but they do have that kind of relationship, and it was a fun flick. I liked it. Next movie, I think, if you were putting a list together of your favorite summer camp movies, I'm going to go on a limb and say this would probably be very high.
It's probably number one. I was going to mention it if it doesn't make your list.
Yeah, it makes my list. It makes my list at three. And you're going to be angry at the two movies that I have, at least one of them, that I have ahead of it. But, you know, it's my list, so deal with it. Written by Michael Showalter and David Wayne. We talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago about being underappreciated. It's Wet Hot American Summer. Maybe it's underappreciated on my list. Came out in 2001. And I think about six people saw it, but since its release on DVD, since its release on Netflix, a lot more people have seen it. This was what summer camp would have been awesome if it was actually like.
Yeah, no, this would, without looking at any other summer camp movies, this would easily be my number one
sure
summer camp movie because I adore this movie. I love the state, which is where most of the cast came from. It introduced us to Bradley Cooper,
I was gonna say,
Elizabeth
like,
Banks.
Yeah.
Like,
huge
Amy
Poehler, huge
not
cast.
Introduced us to Amy Poehler, but it had the cast is amazing. So I just love the movie, and it holds up. It was dumb then, it's dumb now, but it's so the jokes are so good. Chris Maloney has one of the most quotable movie characters ever. Like, just every line he says in that movie, you can randomly say to me at any given time, and I'm just gonna crack up.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that, especially if you hadn't seen it at the time, if you've never seen it and you watch it now, like everybody you're like, holy shit, he's in the movie? She's in the movie? It's fucking insane how this movie kind of flew under the radar for as long as it did, but it's really good. It's not good enough to be my number two or my number one, but check it out. That's my number three, Wet Hot American Summer.
My number two road trip movie, Little Miss Sunshine. It was darker than you thought it'd be. Steve Carell, go back to Steve Carell showing range. Steve Carell was awesome in it. Paul Dano was awesome in it. I just thought it was just a really well put together movie. The payoff, I don't think was that great, but the one dude standing up and clapping will make me laugh.
I did. I liked that.
Like, the dude standing up and clapping will make me laugh anytime I think about it. I just think it's a well put together movie, and I think it was promoted as more fun than it is. Like, I think it was heavier than people expected going in.
Yeah, the Paul Dano angle, I don't think people knew going in.
But it worked, and I loved it. I think it just came together well, and I think it's just a fun movie.
It was a very fun movie. It actually, before I decided to go straight up summer camp, that would have been on my list. is just, you know, vacation slash road trip slash whatever. But number two, and this is where I think Dave's going to start getting angry with me, but I don't care. From my childhood, this was from, I'm trying to fill time as I find it, 1987. There's a shit ton of these movies. This one, I maintain, is good. If you haven't seen any of them, and you're only going to see, yeah, he's already making the judgmental face. It's Ernest Goes to Camp. The character of Ernest was overdone. Way, 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 way overdone.
Not at this point, though.
Yes, not at this point. And that's what I'm saying. If you can separate this from Ernest Goes to Africa and some of the terrible ones. Jail was good. Christmas was good.
I would say Jail is the, because didn't it go Camp, Christmas, Jail? I don't know the exact order, but those three got wide releases, and I think they were legitimately good, especially Goes to Camp.
Yeah,
and especially Christmas. I think those were both really, really good and interesting movies. And at that point, not everybody had seen
the
Saturday morning show.
Shit.
Yeah. So Camp was 87, Christmas was 88. And then Goes to Jail was 90. So those first, even Scared Stupid was okay.
I like Scared Stupid.
Scared Stupid was the start of the downfall because it was about, I'd say, half good. And then it was just all downhill from there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I liked Ernest Goes to Camp. If you could get into that, they don't really make movies like that anymore. I mean, other than Madea, where just here's a character that we're building a movie around. Because you had the Pee Wee movies that could go on a road trip. The Big Adventure could go on a road trip list, but I'm not gonna argue that much with it because I did like Camp.
Yeah, I mean, Camp, like I said, if you can separate it from the garbage that came after it, maybe not immediately after it, but I mean, that movie, it had a little bit of heart. There was a story to it. It wasn't just you know, Jim Varney making faces and getting slapped in the face with shit. That was in there, and that was hilarious, especially as a 3 or 4 year old. Ryan thought it was goddamn brilliant. So I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Ernest. It started with Ernest Goes to Camp.
I'm a number one. My number one, I bring this movie up any chance I get. If we're ever talking about James Marsden or road trip movies or teen sex comedies. Sex Drive. I think Sex Drive is so fucking underrated because I think people looked at it and thought it's just another like teen romp sex comedy. It's really fucking funny. Like, it's really funny. The characters are good. The characters are really, really good. There's a lot of good gags in it. It's actually an okay story. I liked it a lot. Like, I think it's really, really good.
I would like to say that I liked it a lot, but I haven't seen it.
It's really fucking good.
I'll have to check it out. I like Marsden.
And Clark Duke, the main dude, Katrina Bowden, Amanda Crew. Like, it's really fucking good. Like, it's just so funny. Like, it's just gag after gag after gag. It felt like an early 80s movie. Like, if you release Sex Drive the same time Meatballs or Porky's or Stripes comes out, it feels like it fits. Like, it's just that kind of feel to it. And it was, I think it's fucking hilarious.
Maybe I'll watch that this week, and I will give you my thoughts. If you've got any thoughts, response to our list, I haven't given my number one yet, I will. But you can get at us, moviesonup@gmail.com. Tweet at us. This would be an excellent thing to tweet about. Tweet us your top, however many, your favorite vacation movie, maybe your favorite summer camp movie, top five, top three, whatever you want to do. Tweet at us at moviesonup. My number one summer camp movie of all time, Bill Murray is back again. Not playing a camp counselor. That part was played pretty good by Edward Norton. Moonrise Kingdom from 2012. I thought that movie was goddamn brilliant. I mean, I like Wes Anderson. Sure, I'm kind of in the bag for him. But in addition to just being kind of a funny take on scout camp, which is, like I said, how I spent quite a few of my summers, again, I thought there was some heart to it that I really liked. The relationship between the kid and the chick. I don't even fucking remember. The little kids. I thought it was a very cute movie. It was funny, well-made. It's just that kind of offbeat, odd Wes Anderson style. I thought it was really, really a good movie.
And it's funny because I only had one honorable mention, like one that I wanted in my top five, but I just didn't have room for it. Another Wes Anderson movie, Darjeeling Limited.
Yeah.
Because I really liked that movie.
Sure. I could see that. I didn't even think about it because it doesn't take place in a summer camp, but it is kind of a,
It's like a road trip movie.
Yeah,
kinda.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess we were both on the same page there. Maybe same book, different pages. Let us know what you think. Like I said, moviesonup@gmail.com. Tweet at us. Facebook.com/moviesonup. Let us know what your favorite summer vacation movies are, or just maybe what movie you like to watch on summer vacation. I'll even accept that. I will accept, and I hope you will too, us doing some trailers for this week. I'm looking at about, we got 7 of these bad boys or so. The first one is a Terrence Malick film, To the Wonder, kind of a love story, I guess.
I guess. It's a Terrence Malick film.
Yeah, so it's very hard
to
describe.
It's a follow-up to Tree of Life, which I wasn't interested in.
No, and I can't say I'm interested in this. It actually kind of started to give me motion sickness. He's like the anti-Kevin Smith. He can't leave the camera the fuck alone.
Yeah, I'm not a Terrence Malick fan, and good for Affleck, though.
Yeah, it's a serious actor role. Good for Daredevil.
Yeah, it just doesn't. Gerard Depardieu, or not Gerard Depardieu.
Javier Bardem.
Yeah, and Rachel McAdams. I won't see it.
No, I don't think I will either. What about Bling Ring?
I'll see it.
And is there any particular reason you'll see that?
A few reasons.
Okay.
Emma Watson.
Sure.
Is about all of them.
I figured.
But I like Sofia Coppola.
Yeah, I don't know that I would go out and say that I like Sofia Coppola. I liked Lost in Translation. That was fine. But I think some of her other... I think they may probably have picked the right director for this movie.
She gets weird sometimes. Because Marie Antoinette, I wasn't too into. Somewhere.
Went nowhere?
Yeah. But I love Virgin Suicides. I really like Lost in Translation. I think this is a different kind of movie for her. And I think she'll nail it. It's a dumb story. It's about the kids
that steal from
Paris
Hilton.
Stealing from like Lohan and Paris Hilton from a few years ago. Alexis Nyers was one of them, but I'll see it. Emma Watson. It's just a teaser trailer. It's basically 90 seconds of look how hot Emma Watson is.
Trailer, at least, was pretty stylistic, which kind of made me think more Marie Antoinette, weird Sofia Coppola, but the trailer made me more interested than I was, you know, just knowing that she was directing this movie. So a good job, trailer. You've already won me over in spite of I don't care about this story. Another story I don't care about is The Hangover. They've put up a first trailer for The Hangover 3. I have to say the thing that I liked best about this trailer was it said the completion of The Hangover trilogy. And I thought, great.
You know what? I'm into it. The second one didn't look good. Because the second one, the trailer made it just look like it was the first movie.
Hey,
all
remember
over again.
This movie? Yeah, this was funny.
This one doesn't look like that. This one looks like it's a different movie. This one looks like there's a story there and it's different. John Goodman's in it. He looks like a badass. Melissa McCarthy, she just makes me laugh. Her small bit in the trailer made me laugh. I like the cast enough that Hangover 2 did nothing for me. Like, there were a couple okay laughs, but not as many as I should. I love the cast. I love them all. But this one, if you put them in something different, I think I really like it. And I like how this one's being built up. It looks like it's got a darker hinge to it. It just, I'm interested.
I'm definitely more interested in this one than I was the second one. I think you hit the nail on the head where the second one did not interest me at all, so I didn't see it. This one, I don't know if I can get over my bias about not wanting to watch the second one. Maybe I'll see this, which is a lot more than I said for the last one. A lot more was said in the second trailer for After Earth. They set up a little bit more about how Will Smith and his son Smith got to be marooned on Earth. I guess there are some things that happen before they get on this ship. What the fuck's with the accents of these two?
What's with the overall voices?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like,
what are they doing?
What are you doing? Again, Shyamalan knows how to bring the worst out of actors. But you know what's interesting? No point in the trailer does it say M. Night Shyamalan.
Right, because at
anywhere.
This point, that's poison.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's just the teaser had his name attached to it. This has M. Night Shyamalan nowhere. So this is like, Will Smith, make us money.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it just looks fucking terrible.
Yeah, I didn't care about it.
Flying Jaden Smith, like...
The flying squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks fucking terrible.
It does look bad. Iron Man 3, however, the trailer for that looks good.
Jesus, the last trailer, the first trailer was really dark, and it made it look like, oh, this is 2 hours of just Iron Man getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
This one's not as dark, but it sells the Mandarin as a badass.
Yeah.
It sells like, oh shit, Iron Man might be in over his head. Like, this movie looks so fucking good.
And it does give you kind of still that dark flavor that, you know, Tony Stark's not having a great time being Iron Man right now. So, and I think that that's kind of where we had been waiting for it to go. Thought that maybe it was going to go there in two, but I really think this will do a good job of, hey, remember Iron Man 1? It was pretty cool. Nothing happened between 1 and 3. There was no
The Avengers
two.
Happened.
Yeah, yeah, that was it. Remember the Avengers? That was good, too. Now we're on to bigger and better things.
I think it'll be so fucking good. Like, it's a goosebumpy trailer, I think. Like, if you're invested at all in the story, like, I think it's one of those that just gets you fucking amped, and it's... I'm excited for it.
Yeah. I think actually the most exciting thing I saw in the entire trailer was like the end when they were like April 25th, which is, you know, about a month and a half away. So that's pretty
cool.
Yeah,
they bumped it up a week.
Yeah.
Listed as the 3rd of May.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of this trailer, it definitely said April, and I was like, okay, that's cool. It's amazing what a difference a week makes. You know, thinking that it's not going to be out till May. Now, fuck, it's going to be out next month. That is pretty rad. That's not something I would normally say about a Shakespeare joint. Pretty rad. I would actually say, no, I've got no interest in this. But speaking of the Avengers, if the director of the Avengers, Joss Whedon, were to do a Shakespearean trailer for his passion project, so to speak, Much Ado About Nothing, which he kind of filmed like on a week break from Avengers.
Like he went like, I think it was 10 or 11 days. They took a small break from Avengers.
And it looks like he made a good
movie. So he just made a Shakespeare adaptation.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm into Shakespeare. I like his writings enough. I don't like Shakespeare movies because they're either going to be
period
pieces, which I don't give a shit about, or they're going to be updated tellings, which I just don't give a shit about. This is an updated present-day telling with the same dialogue, which Romeo and Juliet tried to do that.
You mean Romeo plus Juliet?
Yeah. It tried to do that, but not like this.
Yeah.
This just looks like a bunch of friends at a beach house talking in Shakespearean language. The cast is fucking amazing. Like, if you've ever watched and loved a Joss Whedon project.
They're here.
Yeah. And it's fucking, it just looks funny. Like, it looks funny. It looks good. It looks interesting. And just something about the language and the setting look like they mix together and it's so unique.
Usually the language is a big barrier to people in Shakespeare, but I think that at least the visuals, and that's going to sound weird, but the visuals make the language seem accessible. And
yeah,
I could see myself sitting through this.
And it's in black and white and it's Shakespearean language, but it looks really, really good.
Yeah, I think we're both on board for that. Maybe all we needed was Joss Whedon, but after seeing the trailer, definitely on board. I kind of got the opposite effect on the next movie. Really, all you need to tell me is that Anna Kendrick's going to be in something and I will watch it because she is an angel.
We might have found
we're going to watch it. We're going to watch it, but we're not going to like this. It's Rapture Palooza. It's the fellow from The Office. Daryl from The Office is
Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson is the devil, the Antichrist. Apparently, the world has ended, but it ends hilariously with animals dropping F-bombs everywhere and all sorts of...
There's so many people I like in this movie.
Yeah.
I love Craig Rob Corddry, Anna Kendrick. John Francis Daly, who you may know from Freaks and Geeks. But it looks fucking stupid.
It does.
It looks like Anna Kendrick's doing her best, but it just looks dumb. But I realize that it's...
And Ken Jeong!
Yeah, Ken Jeong.
As God.
Jesus. As God, that's yes. Right. Here's what I'll say trying to defend it. It seems like a movie that you have to be into. Like, it seems like you have to be in the setting.
You have to completely buy in.
Yeah, that they have to create this world and you have to buy into the universe, which is probably hard to do out of context in a trailer. If it sucks you into that world in the beginning of it, in the first 10 minutes, it might actually be funny.
You're working hard, Shoveling,
I understand that. She's so adorable.
Yeah.
I'll see it.
Yeah, I'll see it too. But I am not holding out any hope that this is going to be any amount of good. Not at all. I mean, when I first saw the trailer for Pitch Perfect, I thought, I'll see this. And hey, you know what? Whatever. This could be interesting. This is going to be a bad movie, but I'm going to sit through it because I feel like when Anna Kendrick and I get married, I should probably at least have seen all of her movies.
It just doesn't seem like an Anna Kendrick movie.
No, but hey, sister's got to eat, so.
She needs to. She is tiny.
She is.
She's an angel.
Just small, fit in my pocket. She is an angel. Maybe, spoiler alert, maybe she is an angel in this movie. I mean, everybody else is some kind of deity. Who knows? That's kind of a bummer to leave off on, but I think it's also a good place to stop. It's the end of the world, right? What can follow up the end of the world? You mentioned John Francis Daley. Maybe that's why you put this one last, because he, of course, as we mentioned earlier, was one of the writers for The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, which does come out this week in wide release, as well as the WWE film The Call, starring
Halle Berry.
Yep, and her fucked up hair. That is not a good look for her.
The Call over under $5 million. I don't know that Halle Berry has the bank anymore.
Under?
It just looks terrible.
If it was Halle Berry and The Rock in a WWE film, I would give it over five, but
it looks terrible. Like, it doesn't even it doesn't even look like it's the kind of bad that brings out the teenagers. Incredible Burt Wonderstone, neither of them are gonna beat Oz.
No.
Oz is gonna be number one. Oz is probably gonna be number one by a considerable amount. 20 for Burt Wonderstone?
I'll take under.
I think I'm gonna go over.
I mean Steve Carell, Jim Carrey. You would think that those are
Heavily promoted.
Names. It is.
There's not a lot of
comedic stuff to go against. I mean, you've got Identity Thief in like its like sixth week, maybe. It seems like it's been out for quite a while.
The point I was getting at, Identity Thief's in the fifth week, okay. So it'll be going into its sixth week. There's not really any star power at the top of the box office right now.
James Franco? Mila Kunis.
I already said Oz is going to win number one.
Oh, okay. You meant.
But there's no. If you go outside of Oz, Jack the Giant Slayer, yeah, it's got Ewan, but it's not. There's no movies that it's just like older couples can go in and say, I know that guy, I'll go see it. This is the first one in a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think they both still have draw.
I do think they have draw. I'm just not sure that it's going to be $20 million on this weekend. I mean, I guess if you were an older couple, well, why the fuck wouldn't you go see Wizard of Oz or Oz the Great and Powerful? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's whatever. I'm not going to see either of those movies. And we're not going to see Spring Breakers, are we? You're on record saying that you hate everything about that. Almost
not
everything about that, yeah. The pedophile and you likes it.
Yeah.
But
the cast and the titties I'm on board with, but the movie, no thanks.
Not on board with. What is your selection for this week? What are you on board with?
I'm going old school. I don't generally do this around old school releases, but Willow comes out on Blu-ray this week.
Okay.
So buy a Blu-ray player. Watch Willow.
Do you happen to know anything about the Blu-ray release? Is there anything added to it, or it's just...
I don't know.
Probably not.
It's Willow. It's one of my favorite movies ever coming out on Blu-ray. So.
Yeah. So check it out on Blu-ray. Don't bother to watch it on DVD.
Watch on DVD if you have to.
VHS if you want to.
I have it on both of those.
I'm sure you do. Are you going to get it on Blu-ray?
I don't have a Blu-ray player.
Oh, I guess that explains why we have all those Blu-rays in our Movies on Up prize packages.
Yeah.
Fair enough. My watch this of the week is not... It's not a great movie. It's not a good movie. It's actually not even one movie. It's 26 movies.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, I know
yeah.
what it is.
It's ABC's A Death, which, like I said, I am a sucker for horror anthology movies. And this one is 26 stories. Each director got their own letter. And they're carried off to varying degrees of success. There are some of them that are actually kind of good. And there are quite a few of them that are awful. Ty West, for instance, did one that made me want to punch him in his face. Because it was...
That's typical of Ty West.
It was bad. It was just stupid. There were... I think the ones that carry off the best are the ones that are kind of trying to be funny. And some of them really kind of are. They may be predictable, but I liked the ones that didn't take themselves too seriously. Angela Bettis had one that was... It was not funny.
It's probably creepy weird.
not as much as you'd think from her. I remembered, they'll tell you, I think, no, it's at the very end. When it'll say, like, I think it was, hers was E. It was E, it was for Exterminator. And it was like, directed by Angela Bettis. I thought, oh, that's kind of neat. Good job. So much so that I wrote it down. But
she directed a movie called Roman years back, starring Lucky McGee. God, it was fucking terrible. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And it had Kristen Bell in it. Like,
and you can still say that
yeah,
about it.
It was fucking terrible.
I mean, it was like a 2-3 minute short. I mean, they're all essentially shorts. So even the ones that are bad, some of the bad ones do drag on for a while. But by and large, you know, if it sucks, it's only going to suck for about 2 or 3 minutes. I mean, I think it's worth watching because some of them are good. And it's a lot of directors that you may be hearing more about later. Maybe not. The guy, the one dude from VHS and VHS 2.
Swanberg?
No. Weingart?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. His was pretty good. I liked his. I liked more. I liked that more than his thing in VHS. But we talked about it back in December. That was a movie that we were kind of thinking could be cool. It didn't end up really that cool. But you know, if it's on VOD, so if you've got a couple hours, it's good. You don't have to watch all of them. You know, and if you're not into one, just fast forward for 2-3 minutes. Check out the next one.
Also on DVD, I'm going to give you a bonus one: Rise of the Guardians. Which I think was really good. It kind of bombed. It kind of laid a lot of people off at DreamWorks, but I thought it was a fun movie. It wasn't the greatest kids movie, but I thought it was just a really good movie.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that a couple of times when you that was on your film ball. Yeah,
yeah.
So you kind of had a vested interest in watching it, and you seemed to like it when you did watch it. So maybe I'll check that out at some point. Probably not. I'm just lying to you because we're gonna be busy. Too busy to watch movies, in fact. Why are we going to be busy, you ask? Because we're changing up a bunch of shit.
There's things that are changing around here at Movies On Up.
Absolutely. Dave and I will still be here, so can breathe easy. But we're changing, essentially, formats of our show. We've already kind of changed a little bit about the website, which you may notice if you pop over to Movies On Up. We got some blog posts.
Ryan wrote a blog about, we didn't cover it in news because there's a blog post about it, but Draft Day, the Blacklist winning script that was written about the Buffalo Bills, it's going to film in Cleveland and going to be the Browns instead. If you remember, we talked about it a long time ago, it's actually, the NFL is on board with it, so it's going to be the Cleveland Browns, not
the Cleveland
Leprechauns
Oranges
or whatever. Yeah. So Ryan put up a post about that. I put up the casting article about Fantastic Four. With pictures, side-by-sides that I made myself.
They are pretty good.
So go to moviesonup.com and see those blog posts. But also changing how we do the show. A lot of times...
We're not going to curse anymore.
I'd actually like to work on that, but I don't see it happening. Instead of packing all the news, instead of having a lot of news and then a discussion and then not having room for trailers or just having news and trailers and not having room for a discussion... We're going to split it up. Every week, we're going to have the regular, we're going to do news, we're going to do trailers. That's it. That's going to be an episode. Also that week, we're going to have a discussion. Whether it's like today, we had our top 5 road trip and summer camp movies. Whether it's that, or we're actually going to start watching movies and inviting input. So the first one will
be... Kind of like a book club.
Yeah, so
but for movies, for your eye holes.
Yeah, so next week we have a top 5 that we're going to do. We're going to be the top 5 movies that we enjoy that make us mad. Movies that you like, but for whatever reason, something.
Do we have to like them? Because I always...
Yes. Because it's so easy to think of movies that make you mad. Movies you enjoy, but just something about it, whether it's a casting or anything. Just something, movies you like that something about them makes you mad. So if you have any of those, send them to us. It's kind of a tough one, though. So I
for March Madness, that's why we're yeah. That's why we're doing it.
And then the week after that, we're actually going to do our first ever, well, second if you count Batman. We did one for Dark Knight. We're going to have a separate discussion where we're just going to watch a movie.
I mean, we picked a doozy, too. If you're going to follow up Dark Knight Rises, you may as well.
Go with G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
So the week of March 25th, we'll be watching... G.I. Joe and doing a separate episode on it.
Because the second one comes out. And
that week. That but don't get okay. me wrong. There are a million podcasts out there that watch terrible movies and talk about them. It's not going to be all that. We're going to watch movies we like. Tyler, you're going to get yourself a Chronicle episode. We'll let you know the date on that. But, well, even though I hate that movie, but we will watch movies. We will watch movies we like. It's not just going to be ragging on crap movies, although there will be those. But basically, in short, every week you're going to have news and trailers, and you're going to have a discussion of some sort, whether it's a list, whether it's an award show pick 'em, whether it's just watching a movie. And then we're going to have Box Office Bash for the summer, which will be similar to Film Ball, but just box office based. So that'll be coming up in about a month or so. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, but the new episode format will start next week. You can still, I mean, if you want to get both, you can certainly do that. They're both still going to be free. They're both still going to be moviesonup.com. We're just, you know, maybe we're making it more difficult, but I think we're just, you know, giving you a choice where, you know, if it's maybe a particularly slow news week that you don't really care about some of the stuff, you know, we're not going to force it down your throat.
Yeah. So. Or if you only like us, if you just want to listen to the discussion and you don't want to go through the news, it's now separate for you.
Or if you don't care what we think and you just love the news.
Yeah.
Either way. So I feel like we kind of piled on
the
news.
We're hoping it's kind of easier for listeners without really changing your habits all that much. Because also the topical stuff isn't going to be as time sensitive. Like, you can go back and watch G.I. Joe whenever and then listen to our thoughts on it. So that's it. That's the changes coming up. And we're also going to try to blog more. I'm going to try to have an article up in the next day or two. Sam Mendes directing the next Bond movie. So I'd like to, I was going to write something up about five directors I'd like to see direct a Bond movie.
And I have no idea what my next blog post will be about unless somebody decides to make a movie about the Cavs, I might be kind of screwed.
Yeah. Just keep checking moviesonup.com.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the takeaway. Big changes coming to moviesonup.com. So check
it
out.
I'm trying to get the Twitter more active.
I would love for the Twitter just to be like, if you guys see something, give us a review. Give us like your 140-character review of whatever movie you see. I don't care if it's new. I don't care if it's old.
Also,
whatever.
Since we have to do a discussion every week now, give us ideas for movies you want us to watch. Like, we have a list going of movies that we'll get to. Give us a list if you have top fives that you like. That's
essentially how Chronicle got on there.
Yeah, yeah. So anything like that, if you have ideas that you want to hear us talk about and that you want to participate in, because we're also, Tyler wants us to do an MTV Movie Awards pick'em. So,
and he's programming our show.
Yeah, so why not? We're going to do an MTV Movie Awards pick'em.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah, that'll be in a few weeks in April. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I think it'll be fun. We'll see, though. If you have likes, disagrees, dislikes, let us know.
Yeah, we can always change back if enough people, you know,
yeah,
complain.
Hit us up. Let us know what you think on Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup, twitter.com@moviesonup, moviesonup.com, moviesonup@gmail.com. Yeah. Any of those ways.
Yeah, hit up the website because we can both see that pretty easily. So you can leave your thoughts on our new blogs, or you can leave your thoughts on our new episodes as they go up, whether you like them, whether you don't. Let us know what you think, but we'd love to hear from you. Dave kind of laid out all the ways you can do that. Anything else you want to plug, Dave?
Leave us iTunes reviews.
Yeah,
also, I have another show called Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. Check it out, ericanddave.com, facebook.com.
There may be a special
Eric
episode of that going up.
The live show will be up this week sometime.
In case you weren't there. Check it out.
Which you weren't.
I was. And it was funny. I'll give it to you.
But yeah, that'll be up maybe by the time you listen to this. We'll see.
Ooh.
They might
be up tonight?
At the same time. Yeah, maybe.
Well, somebody could be listening to this way in the future. So yeah, it could still be up. Whatever. That about does it for this week. Until next week, new episodes.
Keep it up.